Welcome to Three in the Key, bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North with your hosts, Elias Elzane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key, Elias Elzane alongside Will Macklin only. This week, Dave Tripp is away in Toronto for a wedding. Not his wedding.
No, God no. I don't think he'll ever get married.
No?
Well, maybe. We'll see. I'm sure Megan will find a way to marry him. Maybe trick him into marriage somehow.
Basketball's back and in full effect, Will. Preseason action kicked off last night in Vancouver between the Warriors and the Raptors. Toronto coming out on top, 97-93.
Yeah, they're also not moving the Raptors thing.
They are not, although the game did sell out in 10 minutes when the tickets went online.
That was because of the Warriors, though, eh?
I guess because of the Warriors, and I guess maybe because of the Raptors, but I think in general just because of basketball, and I guess Vancouver misses it out there because the Grizzlies weren't treated fairly.
Definitely not. I mean, I was there when they were, I was there for their 6-year stint, and I loved them, and then they left, and then after the Grizzlies went to Memphis in 2002-ish, that's when Vancouver became the most beautiful place in the world to live, and all that stuff came out, and then, like, I think David Stern, actually, one of his biggest regrets is pulling out of Vancouver.
That is a big one, because I don't think there's Grizzlies in Memphis, is there?
No, definitely not.
We'll talk a little more about the game in a bit. Also, the Pelicans won the other preseason game that was on yesterday, New Orleans against Dallas. They took that one 116-102. The rookie, Buddy Hield, had a good game. Buddy Buckets, 19.6 rebounds, 3 assists. So it looks like he'll, you know, maybe now with Ben Simmons out, does he creep into
that rookie of the year
conversation? Also, guys, remember you can get a hold of us by email at thethreeinthekey@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at Three in the Key. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram at thethreeinthekey. You can listen to each and every episode, including this one, on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. We do appreciate it. Also, you can check out our website, which has links to everything, our pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that, at 3inthekey.ca. In today's program, we chat with Zero of SB Nation, a staff writer there. And later, we're joined by Chris Axman of the Almighty Baller podcast, talking a lot of stuff. Warriors with KD now, Rookie of the Year, sleeper teams, Raptors, the whole fiasco. Well, not fiasco in Cleveland, but they still have J.R. Smith not signed out there. A little swisher miss, Pistons with Zero because he is out of Detroit. So a lot of conversation with basketball, man, in full effect. I know it's preseason.
Yeah, but you were just
I'm excited, man.
Right now, right?
And a couple of, like, what are we, October 2nd today? 23 more days till the regular season opens? I think it's October 25th. Cleveland Cavaliers will receive the rings and hang up their first ever banner at the Quicken Loans Arena.
Not just the Cavalier players either. So,
Dan
Gilbert's gonna give some rings to
the ushers, guys. The concession guys, the security. Obviously, probably not as good looking of rings that the players are gonna receive.
It's not as like.
But they'll be able to say that they got a championship ring as well. Exactly.
It's still gonna cost them over $1 million to get those rings.
Wow. But hey, it's the first one ever.
No,
first championship in Cleveland, in the city of Cleveland.
Are you okay with doing
years.
That? Like you?
Yeah, that's cool. I think the broadcasters, I think for sure, should get one.
Definitely.
That's one thing because, you know, they're calling every single game and all that. But that is a cool act. That's very nice of Dan Gilbert to get the.
What about,
you know,
Vergeau? Vergeau turning it down, right?
I don't know. He says he's turning it down. Then he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. But Vergeau, he spent his whole career basically in Cleveland before going to Golden State. Obviously, he was traded, I think it was to Portland, before they
waived him.
They released him, and he went on to sign with Golden State. But also, does David Black get one? He brought him to the first the finals in his first season there and then had a winning record before they let him go.
Yeah.
And now he's out back in Europe and Turkey coaching.
Because honestly, Black could have won that ring today, this year too.
Well, I don't know. They fired him because they said that the team, even though they were winning, but there wasn't that right chemistry and that atmosphere in the locker room.
Is this what LeBron was saying?
Yeah. They weren't holding players GM accountable. LeBron. So that's why Lou came in and they did all that. So yeah, David Blatt, Anderson Varejao might be the only two that deny rings from Dan Gilbert. We will see as, you know, the rings come closer.
I'll take one. I'll accept one.
Yeah, you'll accept one? On behalf of three, Nikki?
That's right. Yeah, we should get one.
Yeah, we should. Big news also, Ben Simmons getting hurt on Friday. Will require surgery on
his foot
this week. Yeah, are the Sixers cursed?
I don't know, man. This is crazy. And Joel was just
2 years. He missed 2 years with foot injuries. And now Ben Simmons. But the good thing for Ben is that he'll only be out 3 months. That's what they say now. So
I know. But still.
Like, around December, January, I was really excited to see this kid play. We saw him in summer league. You know, the court vision was amazing. The passing.
Passing's amazing.
Amazing. He's a big guy, 6'10", gained weight quickly.
Yeah, huge.
People might say, or people are saying, some people are saying that it was because he gained so much weight so fast that put pressure on his bones. And when he landed on his foot, on another player's foot.
Was not used to it.
Yeah, he fractured his bone or whatever the case was. But then other people in the Sixers are saying, no, it's not because of that. But who knows?
I don't know. This is a tough break for the Sixers, though. Like, this is every draft pick now. Because the last 3 years have been like this.
Yeah, because Okafor last year as well, at the end of the year, missed some time. And Noel, obviously, he missed the whole year.
So this
is unbelievable for Philly. And Philly sports, I guess. Especially basketball. They love basketball
exactly.
down there in Philadelphia.
Ben Simmons was a bit of a draw, too, for them. I mean,
Of course, that was the only thing going for them this year. Everyone was so excited because of Ben Simmons.
And Joel, Joel played, too.
Yeah, but Joel's not going to be playing back-to-backs. He's going to be on a minute restrictions. And then scrimmages, he's been slow from what I've seen. He has to adjust himself back to the speed of the game, especially at the NBA level, is way faster. And he hasn't played, remember, in 2 full years.
Yeah.
The last time we saw this guy play, he was in the NCAA with Kansas.
Yeah, they got knocked out in the second round?
Second or third round, yeah. Something like that. But it just looks like the city of Philadelphia keeps taking L's.
Yeah, man, it's tough. I'm so sad for them. Because imagine this was happening to the Timberwolves. The difference, like the same thing, like Towns gets hurt or Wiggins, like these are the same people. They get drafted as well, and it could be just as bad. But it just seems whoever 76ers draft, they get hurt for some reason. But yeah, you're right. Hopefully, the longevity of the injury will not last a full year or season, which is great. Yeah, so it's only 3 months.
That's what it looks like. Looks like right now.
Just
which would be good, and
they're gonna
take some time with him. They're gonna be cautious, even if it stretches out to 4 months, and he comes back sometime in February, maybe, or end of January, the latest.
Yes.
Let's say if they just take extra time and make sure he's ready to come back and is in basketball shape, and then everyone's gonna be like, okay, Ben Simmons is finally here now, and we get to see him play. I hope that it doesn't stretch out to be a full year, because then it's gonna be like, wow, Philly is really.
Yeah,
really
doesn't matter. No one wants to be drafted by them.
Yeah, do they get the first overall pick next summer too?
Oh, they will. Yeah, if Ben Simmons doesn't play again, or play at all, he's toast. Because it's tough for him now missing those preseason games, the training camp, and then he's going to come back from his foot injury and just be in the NBA. Like, that's so hard. Like, missing out on that training camp and preseason is so vital for a rookie. I mean, that's why he was at summer league, you know, like these things. It takes time to progress and getting from the college to that pro league. This is a different type. Like, you could tell the talent is different when it comes to college. Like, I mean, all due respect to Dave Tripp and his love for college basketball, you can definitely tell it's a different world up here in the NBA. So, and to make that transition for Ben, it will be tough just coming back off the bench with that foot injury.
That's a great point, Will, because with the preseason games, he would have been able to adjust to that NBA level defense. It's not the same thing as summer league.
Right.
He would have been able to see, okay, what's the defense giving me, the speed of the game, even though it's preseason and you're going to see a lot of different guys and you're not going to see the big guys play major minutes, but at least he'll have that feel, okay, I'm on an NBA court. This is how it goes. This is where I have to be. He learns. He's getting used to his teammates. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot.
Exactly.
From what we heard from Brent Brown and Colangelo and everyone in Philadelphia is he's probably going to be playing point guard at 6'10", or if he rebounds, they're probably looking to push and go up with Simmons.
They want him as a new Magic Johnson type. So
yeah, and he's drawn comparisons with his skill set and his size.
Yeah, skill
to
size.
To LeBron James. So it is going to be interesting to see how he comes back, when he comes back, and how he's going to adapt to the game right away, getting thrown basically into the fire right after an injury with no preseason, with pretty much right away, boom, NBA game.
Yeah.
Get in there and try to win us this. The Raptors and Warriors, first preseason game that was taking place last night in Vancouver. A couple of boos for Kevin Durant. I guess he's going to get that everywhere he goes. I didn't really get it in Vancouver. Curry made a...
Well, how did they do that? What did Durant do to them?
Curry made a good point saying that, you know, no one was affected by Durant out here. But it's just something, I guess, that he'll have to be accustomed to this season. It's like when LeBron James first went to Miami and he was going everywhere. He was the most hated guy.
Too. And I think that's what Durant's doing, too. He definitely likes the role of the villain, so he's okay with it. But it's just funny that, like the Pacific Northwest, Lower Mainland, like of Vancouver, like, buddy, do it. Like, you're just happy that he's there. Don't boo him. But I guess it's just you have your trolls out there for sure, and that's what's gonna happen sometimes.
Yeah, and it was a good game. I watched a bit of it, and Durant didn't play too much. Those guys, you know, saw the floor here and there. Obviously, started. He was 2 for 9 from the field.
Yeah.
I liked for the Raptors. Sullinger was.
Was solid.
The rebounded. Pascal Siakam, the rookie, the 27th overall pick in this summer's draft for Toronto, brought a lot of energy off the bench. It was really getting up there and crashing the board, so that would be nice. That's a guy we spoke with Jack Armstrong last week. That him and Jacob Poeltl are two guys that can really challenge Lucas Nogueira, Bebe, for minutes now.
Definitely.
Down the stretch, those are guys, big guys now, that can challenge for the backup center spot behind Valanciunas or even that four. But we'll see. I was impressed with him. I think Damari Carroll looked okay. But
now he'll get a full season into with the Raptors.
He's still, you know, coming back from all that knee stuff, saying he's not 100%. But I liked Sullinger, what he brought. Obviously, Kyle Lowry and DeRozan
did their thing.
The All-Star games. They did their thing. And we'll see how it goes. You know, I know it was preseason 97-93. It was a close game.
What was it like seeing Durant in that lineup?
It was weird seeing Durant in a Warriors jersey, obviously, because he's been wearing a Seattle or Oklahoma City one for his whole career since 07. So, what, eight years, I think it was?
Yeah.
And now seeing him in that blue and yellow.
That's another thing
odd.
Why they shouldn't have booed him. Because I'm sure fans from Seattle went up to see him. So, super strange. Yeah,
but they took the team from Seattle. I guess so,
but like it's not, Durant still goes back to Seattle every year. He loves the city.
Yeah, we'll see. It was interesting, but it's going to be quite the NBA season. And this is what I wanted to say is, I know it was a preseason, but the last year when they played them twice, the Raptors, it was close games. And again, it was close last night in a preseason game. So it should be interesting to see how the rest of the preseason goes. And when we tip off the season at the end of October, we'll be back after this with Zito of SB Nation to talk more basketball.
Can't wait.
Being the key. Stay with us.
I stand behind my brother, Chris. And the most important thing is his health. But whatever decision he wants to do, he can go forward. I'm all for it. Support him in any way, shape, or facet. Obviously, we all know it's probably a difficult situation for him, and I was pretty surprised a little bit to hear that he was done with him.
Welcome back to Three in the Key.
Welcome back inside the key. Three in the key. Elias Zane alongside Will Macklin. Dave Tripp is not here, so obviously we had to replace him. Now the guest has become the third member for today's episode, and we are joined by Zeitz of SB Nation, a staff writer. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
No problem.
So obviously the biggest signing, and it's pretty much what everyone's been talking about all summer leading up to this moment right now, Kevin Durant joining the Golden State Warriors, had his first game yesterday in Vancouver against the Raptors. They lost. Obviously, he didn't play too much. Preseason doesn't really mean.
Trouble in Paradise, man.
Yeah, I think he went like 1 for 6 or something.
Big mistake already.
What do you think, or how do you think the Warriors will fare now with Kevin Durant and more of the attention on them, obviously, come closer to the season and when the season kicks off at the end of the month all the way till probably June?
Well, since he's going 1 for 6, I think this is just a bad idea, and they should just trade him to the Lakers.
Hey, I would love that. They should trade him to the Lakers.
They were also booing him in Vancouver for some reason.
I think, like, at this point, everybody's accepted that the Warriors are the NBA's villain now, and Kevin Durant is just, like, the face of that villainy at this point. So I guess people in Vancouver are really, really mad that he left the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm not sure what the relationship between Vancouver and Oklahoma City is.
Not very much, I don't think.
They're not even that close either. It's like it's way opposite.
Yeah, it's like,
I didn't even know Canadians could get mad like that. But
yeah, they know. It's so weird.
Hey, you haven't seen Canadians watch hockey. We do get mad.
Yeah, that's true. But like, yeah, exactly. But it's not like. Yeah, they've never had a situation in hockey where the player leaves, and it's so funny. Like, I don't, maybe Subban now with the Canadians.
But he was traded, it's a whole different story.
Oh, that's true.
We're not getting into hockey, though. Basketball's our topic. Ben Simmons, sad news out of Philadelphia. He got hurt, injured his foot, and will require surgery this week. Doesn't look like he's going to miss the whole year. It looks to be 3 months, and the Sixers are going to be cautious with him and his return. He was the guy going in. Everyone's like, okay, Philly has maybe not a chance to make the playoffs, but they're going to be better and more respectable this season because they got this one-in-a-generation talent in him. And everyone was like, this is the rookie of the year. Do you think that race has opened up now? What does it mean, first of all, for the Sixers without Ben Simmons for the first couple of the months? And what do you think about the rookie of the year race now?
Ben Simmons, or the Sixers, they're rock bottom right now. So without Ben Simmons, they still have like Joel Embiid coming in, and who's that? Noel is still there. So I don't know. Like, being at bottom, all you can do is kind of go up, and people really just don't expect a lot from you, right? So anything or any improvement is positivity. So I think because they were so bad, they have that patience to wait for him to come back. It's not like they're in a win-now situation or anything similar to that. But it does open up that rookie of the year consideration, right? Because he was supposed to be just instantly rookie of the year. Everybody's talked about him. He's been called mini LeBron. He was training with LeBron and the rest of them. So it's time to give it to Brandon Ingram.
It's about time.
But I think Chris Dunn might really be in contention for it, because Chris Dunn looks like he'll be really, really good.
We were talking about Buddy Hield last night, too. He actually played really well for the Pelicans.
Yeah, Buddy Hield might be a dark horse in that race, because I think if it was just Ben Simmons or, like, Chris Dunn or Brandon Ingram, but, like, everybody forgets that Buddy Hield is still there. But it depends on how much time he gets to play, because I know Chris Dunn might be one of the first ones to start, and you know, Ben Simmons was automatically just gonna be a starter on that team because they suck. So,
well, they were just gonna be like, yeah, because he was gonna obviously get the most minutes, so that obviously he's gonna have the numbers to get the rookie of the year spot. I wanted to get your thoughts on. I heard you talking about it, but how you're still surprised about Dwayne Wade being in Chicago and a Bull.
Yeah, compared it to what, that ending of Shutter Island?
Yeah.
where he just sits there and he just, like, after like, the whole movie where they convince him that he's patient on the island, he's just like, and then at the end, he's just like, I gotta get off this island, so.
Well, like, this, yeah. Should wait. Like, it's just, like, it's so crazy that Wade went there to Chicago, and now even Rondo's there. Like, what are they doing there in Chicago?
Dude, it seems like the island of misfit toys, right?
Yeah, what's happening? No one can show.
Where, I have no idea. Like, I saw a team picture yesterday, and it was just so weird. It was like, I can't do this. I can't look at this directly. It was like sunlight.
In the morning, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was like, I can't. But I don't know, it's not the worst thing or like the first time something like that has happened. I mean, we have to deal with Vince Carter on the Phoenix Suns, so.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
Steve Nash is on the Lakers for a little minute as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we'll get used to it, I suppose, with the red being on Wade.
So
yeah, but it's like one of those things that you just expected Wade to retire.
I know.
With the Heat.
Yeah, it's super weird. I know, that's the thing I was going to ask you. Especially with the Chris Bosh situation, is Pat Riley kind of shaking now? What's up with what's going down in Miami?
Oh, he's not really shaking. He's just a dick, right?
Yeah, he's just being a jerk. Like, and I think everyone's noticing that now. Before he was an architect, and now he's just being. He's just, everyone knows he's just an angry old white dude.
Yeah, like he's always had that. Pat Riley's always had like that little mob mentality, or like the mob aura around him, where he's supposed to be like this deal maker, and he can always just come in and fix everything, and everybody listens to him, and he even looks like he belongs in the Sopranos
or something like that. He's in the mafia for sure.
Yeah, so he like part of that is the fact that people in the mafia are dicks, like. Right, so
good
he
fellas, though. Good fellas. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, so he has that. He has that ego that's bigger than everybody else, and he has like that strong arm that, you know, you have to kind of do things as he says. You have to take the, you know, he's gonna make you an offer you can't refuse until somebody refuses.
Right.
So I think with the D-Wade thing, maybe he's just like he wanted D-Wade to leave. For that relationship to be over, but he wanted to make it seem like D-Wade was just like being greedy,
right,
and didn't accept the deal that he put in, which is just not going to happen because D-Wade's done so much for that team. There's no way he can ruin his reputation.
No.
And
so now it's flipped on Pat.
Yeah. And with the Chris Boston, I'm actually like, yeah, like we've seen players like fall, or especially in soccer, I've seen players like collapse because of heart problems and things like that.
Yeah.
So at this point, I think it's better for Chris Bosh, but this is just a personal opinion, just to, you know, like, do, even if he gets medically cleared or whatnot, which he, you know, he has, but he still failed the fitness. Even if he, like, somehow comes back, there's always, like, there's going to be this hanging shadow over him that, you know, things could end any time on that court,
yeah,
which is just not something you want from one of your favorite players or people in general. So
it would be a sad tragedy, obviously, if that happened. And he's trying so hard to come back and play for a team. But will a team even go after him with all that medical history? And then it's going to turn up if something bad happens to him. Oh, why did that team go out and sign him? And they know his past and what's happening in the past couple of years. It is very sad because he spent, you know, the beginning of his career in a solid 7 years up here in Canada. So we got to watch him play a lot, and he was a really talented player. It was a 20-10 every single night. He just didn't really have the talent around him to do very much in Toronto. And we saw when he went down to Miami, he sacrificed a lot, went to 4 straight finals with LeBron and Wade and took home 2 rings, and everyone just forgets about Chris Bosh being just that, you know, third guy. But if it wasn't for his offensive rebound and Ray Allen's shot, they wouldn't have that ring, right?
No, he's severely underrated, right? Especially because, like, in the NBA circles or in the NBA world especially, we started just turning him into a joke.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like, during after celebrations and things like that, he kind of became like this sideshow. But I think most, like, NBA heads or like NBA writers and things like that really, really knew how valuable he was to that team. You're not gonna find a guy who could play center, shoot from mid range automatically and shoot from the three and still guard everybody like that. So yeah, I remember Chris Bosh, like he's one of my favorite players in the NBA, or was one of my favorite players in the NBA. And I still remember that little cowboy video that he did for the All-Star game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was playing everywhere here in Canada, let me tell you that.
Yeah, he was definitely trying to get all the votes there. We also want one more question about Bosh, though. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer? If he does?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
That shouldn't be too much of a question about that. And he has the rings for all of that extra nonsense for people who think you need rings to validate yourself.
Yeah, it definitely helps in the conversation.
Well, I mean, for sure, like Steve Nash, though, or something like
that. No, but Steve Nash gave a lot to the game. He's up there third all-time in assists. He was a durable player. But, yeah, you know, every player is a different conversation once it gets closer to the Hall of Fame. You can be like, okay, if you were to compare now, since this conversation is open and we have Zeitz on the line, if you put C-Webb and Chris Bosh head-to-head, or if you want to compare them, which one would you give the Hall of Fame ballot to first?
Like, C-Webb or Chris Bosh? Okay, so I'm biased because I love C-Webb. But no, I would give it to Bosh, though. I would definitely give it to Bosh. But you just made me, like, commit sacrilege right there.
Sorry, man.
That's so crazy.
Moving on. Okay, LeBron, in the past couple of days and pretty much, you know, not all summer, but in the last couple of months, I said, you know, the Cavs need to sign J.R. Smith. He's part of the team. He's the favorite guy. Everyone loves him. He's the glue guy. He's everything. He's turned into a two-way player. Just talking, you know, all this great stuff about him, and he was a big part on that championship team. And he hasn't been signed by the Cavs yet, and obviously no other team in the NBA has made an offer to him. David Griffin has come out and said that they've made a very aggressive offer to JR and they're just waiting on him. What's that whole situation there? And do you see JR coming back on a cheap deal, eventually caving in and coming back to the Cavs? Or does he go to another team on a cheap deal to kind of say, you know, like, F you, Cleveland, you didn't pay me. It's a respect thing. You know, we won. I came back on that one-year deal for less money than what my player option was. And now you don't want to pay me for the long run. I'm out of here. What is it in Cleveland with J.R. Smith?
Well, I think he was at the players' meeting, wasn't he? He was at their players' meeting recently.
Yeah, players' meeting. Yeah, he was there.
So, you know, there's like, it's kind of one of those things where you know he only wants to be here, and they want him back, but it's just a money situation, right? So hopefully it doesn't turn out like the D-Ways, and even though it's like a different relationship of him leaving. And I think the biggest factor in all of this is that LeBron just came out and said that he's tired of this shit and they need to get the deal done. And LeBron is general manager and like head dictator of that team. So, and because like, I'm not sure if I could say this on like on the podcast, but I hate Dan Gilbert like with all my heart.
Oh, really? That's fine. We let anyone speak
whatever
they want. That's okay. Yeah. You hate him. That's cool.
What happened? Why do you dislike him so much?
Besides the fact of that whole like LeBron situation, right? Dan Gilbert is like is based in Detroit, right?
Yeah.
And Dan, he's basically turned Midtown Detroit into his little monopoly board, where he buys up like all these cheap places and he, like basically moves out the natives and like rebuilds it. And, like, in Midtown Detroit around like 5 years ago, you could get an apartment for a guy, like a really great place for like $500 a month, right?
Yeah.
And in like that little time, the prices for those same places have risen to like $1,600. Or like,
wow.
It's basically turned into like a mini Brooklyn.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's just kind of, because like everywhere is cheap and there's a lot of like abandoned buildings, he's getting to just buy up whatever he wants and like get all the construction licenses that he wants to just rebuild the city in his image. And that's okay, right? If there's nothing wrong with making a city or rebuild the city and bringing in businesses, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But the whole effort of it is just like to get the people who used to live there away and then bring in like transplants from like around the suburban areas or from out of town, which now if you go to Midtown Detroit, it looks like nothing like the actual city of Detroit. It feels like a little suburbia in the middle of the city.
Oh my!
So, and like he kicked me out of one of his conferences one day. So.
Whoa, that's crazy! This is breaking news. Yeah. Breaking news on Three in the Key. We love it.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. What if he gave you a Cleveland Cavaliers replica ring? Would that make it all up for you?
Well, it depends if the ring says that the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead or not.
Like it very specifically says that.
Before we let you go, speaking with Zito of SB Nation, we play a game here on our show here and there called Swish or Miss. So Will's going to ask you a question, and you let us know if you swish or miss on it.
Okay, so here we go, Zeets. I mean, this is a big one. The other offseason story was, of course, Russell Westbrook. Swish or miss on him being the MVP of the NBA this year?
Swish. I actually wrote a story that I said that this is going to be his year, and he has a big chance of being the MVP as long as the rest of that team actually does well. So I'll go with Swish.
All right, awesome. That's good. That was good enough for us. Thanks for coming on there, Zito.
Yeah, thanks, Zito of SB Nation, staff writer, for taking the time and joining us on 3 in the Key. We'd love to chat with you again some other time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the Key. 3 in the Key, Elias Olzen alongside Will Macklin. And we have another guest to fill in Dave's shoes right now, Chris Axman of the Almighty Baller Podcast. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. Chris, I'm pretty sure you heard the news on Friday. Ben Simmons getting hurt in training camp, hurting his foot, due for surgery up this upcoming week. Obviously a big blow for the Sixers. First off, are they cursed because they've been injured? All their lottery picks in the last couple of years have seemed just to have been getting hurt and missing a lots of time. So what's happening with Philly now? What's the next step? I know they're not the greatest team, obviously, and the only way they can go is up. But what happens with the Sixers with Ben Simmons now sidelined for at least 3 months, and what do you think it opens up in the Rookie of the Year race?
Well, the 76ers, I think, need to be really careful to make sure that that doesn't develop into anything worse. Big men and then athletes in general and foot injuries are just not a good recipe, as they figured out in their other lottery pick, Joel Embiid. So yeah, maybe they're cursed. Maybe the entire league is cursed, because it's a bit of a tragedy that we didn't get to see Joel Embiid play for the first 2 years of his career. And, you know, if that ends up happening with Ben Simmons, I think that's even worse. I was really excited to see Ben Simmons, but as far as Rookie of the Year picks, that's a difficult question, because I don't think Ben Ingram is developed enough to pull it off, and I'm not sure that Chris Dunn is going to have the minutes in Minnesota. So I probably would give it to Ingram, though, just because he's going to have the minutes to put up some numbers.
What about someone like Buddy Hield last night? We saw him with the Pelicans. Do you think he could be a little bit of a dark horse?
Yeah, he definitely could be, and I would definitely say that, just because with Drew Holiday out for the first part of the season, I think originally the Pelicans' plan was to bring Buddy Hield off the bench and use their giant immobile centers like Gachinka and Omerov to just set screens for Buddy and let him go to work against bench units. But now with Drew Holiday out, they have to start him. I mean, who else are they going to start?
No,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Well, he's a senior student too, right? So it's not like he's a kid out there on the court as well. So I think it's huge that he gets this opportunity in New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'll go with you on Buddy there. Yeah, it's a hard one. I had Ben Simmons penciled in. I thought he was an obvious one. You know, actually, with a little further thought, maybe Dario Saric.
Oh, yeah. He's going to see a lot of the floor now, I guess. With Ben Simmons out, we should see him on the floor. And Brett Brown's been praising him all summer, saying this guy, yeah, he might be young in age and a kid, but he's actually, you know, almost kind of like a vet. He's played in the EuroLeague most of his life, and obviously he played well in the Olympics and leading up to the Olympics for the Croatian national team. Moving on, Christo, if you had to pick some sleeper teams or surprise teams that can, you know, make a splash this year, which way would you go?
Well, so are we talking about sleeper teams, like positive sleeper teams? Because that could go both ways. I mean, I think that people are sleeping on some teams being good that might not be. But I'll start out with some positive teams. I like the Spurs. I think that people are overestimating the impact last year of Tim Duncan's rim protection, and that's rough to say because he's, you know, one of the best ever in league history in calling defensive rotations and just being the defensive general. But he just, his lateral movement was, you know, I mean, he was 40 years old. It was subpar. And I think Pau Gasol is going to be able to slide in and do that. And I think that their elite, like maybe best in league history defense, was basically on the shoulders of Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard. So they played their defense sort of from the outside in. And I think that they're still going to have that. And if anything, Danny Green will just shoot threes better this year because they had a down year. So I think the Spurs are still going to be good. In the Eastern Conference, I might have said Milwaukee up until the Chris Middleton injury.
That's tough.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think Utah could be good out west.
Yeah,
they added a few veterans: Boris Diaw, Joe Johnson. Couple of good guys that can help that young team with Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert, obviously Gordon Hayward. I think they can creep up to, I don't know if I'm overreaching here, but maybe the top five in the competitive West. What do you think, Chris? You think that's a possibility for the Jazz this year and then finally get back in the playoffs after just missing it last year?
You know, for team previews on my show, that's what I asked David Locke. And he's a little bit more rational than a lot of media guys, a little bit more number based, and you know, he prompted me, you know, to not be a little too trigger happy on this team, because you know, last year the same conversation, we had the same conversation. It was supposed to be, we saw at the end of last season, or we saw at the end of the 13-14 season when Rudy Gobert was breaking out and they traded Enes Kanter after the All-Star break. They had, you know, the stellar defense, and they were supposed to come in 14-15 and be world beaters. All that being said, it's almost hard to pick them as like a sleeper team, because I think that the league is, the media is collectively just all behind this team and thinks they're going to be great. And I got to say, I'm in that boat too. To me, it's almost not a sleeper pick, because I think that
we're expecting them to finally get over that hump, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that a lot of people recognize the talent. I know CBS, it was really interesting to see, they ranked their bench. I think they gave the Jazz the first best bench in the league and then the fourth best starting lineup in the league.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I mean, that could just be Zach Harper going crazy. It could be all sorts of things, but I mean, they look good. You know, yeah, they look really good on paper, and they have had some really bad luck with injuries, and I think that their lack of production in terms of wins the last few years could just easily be, you know, explained by saying, well, they had injury issues, you know, like bad luck.
Right. Now, looking out in the East now, so I know we got the Cavs. Everyone's predicting them to go again to the final. I mean, the Raptors are in the mix. But what would a team like the Indiana Pacers? I feel like they improved a little bit, adding Al Jefferson. They still have Paul George there, Jeff Teague also, Monte Ellis. So you got some guys, and Miles Turner, of course, who's an up-and-coming young guy. Do you think these guys can maybe get past the first round or even get – deep into deeper than that?
I got a lot of hate for this on Twitter, but I don't think the Pacers are a playoff team.
Wow.
Yeah, I
can see why you got hate.
You know, I just, for every year in Paul George's career, I think except for the 13-14 season, he's been below league average in efficiency. And that's been all right, because he's had certain players who could compensate for that, and because Frank Vogel has consistently coached a top five defense year after year after year. I think last year was top six, but there's no more defensive player of the year, Roy Hibbert. You're replacing him with a sophomore rookie who's really playing out of position, if you ask me. I think Miles Turner is best defensively as off-ball shot blocker, so sort of think like Serge Ibaka, maybe like Anthony Davis. And so he's going to be sliding over to the center. I think he's going to get into foul trouble really fast. All of a sudden you're replacing him with Al Jefferson, and he's going to get, you know, dunked all over because Thaddeus Young, I don't think, is going to be able to protect the rim well. And then meanwhile, you have Monte Ellis, Thaddeus Young, chucking up threes.
Yeah.
He's just hitting nothing. And then the math to me doesn't work out. I don't think that they're going to be an elite defense anymore, and I think that they're going to be one of the most inefficient teams in the league. So,
strong statement. That's the first time. Well, I hear that. A lot of people like the Pacers. You know, they said everyone's like, oh, they added this guy. They went out and got Jeff Teague, Thaddeus Young, you know, Miles Turner. It could turn into something good, but it's a nice perspective to get the other side of it. One team that we pay close attention to here in Canada, obviously, is the Toronto Raptors. Now, a franchise record year last year, 56 wins all the way to the East Finals, pushing the Cavs to 6 games. They didn't really do much this summer, just Jared Sullinger, who signed on for a year and about just under $6 million, drafted a few young guys. What do you think about the Raptors this season? Are they going to be as good as they were last year, or are they going to be not as good? And what is the perception of Toronto and the Raptors down in the U.S. right now?
Well, they should be Pirtle good. Sorry, that was a Jakob Pirtle joke. my initial perspective on the Raptors is just that, you know, I think they're doing basketball right. I don't think that they're really high on my list of championship contenders, but to me, that's okay. I think that if you, at this point in your franchise's history, like really shot for the stars, say if you decided that DeMar DeRozan didn't have a high enough upside to warrant that $145 million-plus contract, I think is what it ultimately was, and you let him walk, I mean, there's a significant chance for negative fan reaction. There's a significant chance that people are going to react negatively around the league. Like, you just let your boy leave. If you move on from some of your vets, if you decide to go fully behind the youth movement, or, you know, there's so many different routes that I feel like the Raptors could have taken to either go all in on a rebuild or go all in on a championship run and mortgage their future. And I just don't think that's the right decision for the Raptors right now. So, I think, you know, Masai Ujiri just is running a good organization. You know, I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah, and he's been getting a lot of praise, obviously, since he's taken over. Coming back to Toronto, obviously, he was here in the Brian Colangelo days as an assistant GM. And I, for one, was really sad to see him leave. But he went on, obviously, to take on the role of the head guy down in Denver. And coming back, you know, he got rid of Rudy Gay, turned him into a nice little package that helped the Raptors go to the playoffs, and then obviously getting rid of Bargnani and getting a first round pick in return for that. Now, Chris, we want to shift it over to our game that we play here on 3 in the Key, speaking obviously with Chris Axman of the Almighty Baller podcast. Swish or miss? So Will's going to ask you a question or two, and you tell us swish or miss and why. Will?
Hey, swish or miss. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Well, hey, what's going on?
The first question for you, man, it's already been a couple weeks, and Rose is already confused by the triangle in New York, but swish or miss on the Knicks being a super team?
Oof. Okay. I'm going to say swish.
What?
It's
a joke question.
Okay. Well, first of all, I wasn't sure, all right, but the Knicks are going to be better than people think. That's it. So, I mean, like, literally, no, they're not going to be a super team. But, like, swish on the Knicks being a playoff team and, you know, maybe sixth seed in the East.
how deep in the playoffs do you think they can go?
I would expect a first round out, but you know, they're a veteran team. They could give a team like the Raptors some trouble in
Definitely.
The first round.
I could see that.
A team like the Celtics some trouble in the first round. just because of age, experience, if Melo goes off, if Derrick Rose hits another one of those crazy bank three-pointers that he hit, I think, on the Nets a couple of years ago.
Right.
I mean, there's I think once you get that next team in the playoffs, anything could happen. There's definitely room for catastrophe, though.
Yeah, definitely, definitely is. Also, Swisher miss on your boy Paul Pierce doing the announcement for retirement. Are you for him announcing, doing the kind of the Kobe thing that he's doing right now?
I'm going to say Swish on it, just because I think that if that's what you want to do, if you want that recognition, you want a retirement tour, you know, like, be my guest. If you want to ride off into the sunset like Tim Duncan, like, that's also great, you know?
Yeah.
Different, you know, different people want different things, and Paul Pierce has been a great player in the NBA, and he deserves all the recognition he wants.
All right, one more. I know you're in Dallas, correct?
Well, I'm in Austin right now, but I'm from Dallas.
Okay, so we wanted to ask you about your Mavs. Swisher missed on the Mavs offseason. Harrison Barnes mostly.
Okay. So, man, I would say Swish on the offseason, but, like, miss on Harrison Barnes.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so, like, an in and out.
Yeah. I mean, I just, like, and it's not that Harrison Barnes is a bad player.
No.
I mean, he's been a really consistent part of a fantastic team the last few years. It's just, I would rather have Chandler Parsons. What will be interesting to see, though, is, you know, Mavs fans are wondering, and, you know, even up in Canada, I figure you guys are wondering why Mark Cuban let Chandler Parsons walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something we don't know. If a couple months into the season, Chandler Parsons is, like, out for the year with another knee injury, same knee, you know, same torn ligament, like, same problem,
right,
then we'll understand. Then I'll say that the Harrison Barnes, you know, basketball there is done sort of spiraling around the rim and it goes in. But, you know, if Chandler Parsons comes out next season and it actually is on the floor, he's just a better player than Harrison Barnes. So, but I think we'll make the playoffs, and I think that, you know, with Dirk Nowitzki being 38 years old, that's got to be a swish.
Yeah.
A made basket, at least.
Yeah.
Mid-range jumper.
Chris Axman of the Almighty Baller Podcast, thanks for joining us, and hope to talk to you another time on 3 in the Key. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, that was great. Great interview.
Yeah, that was good, man. Two good interviews on the program today.
No Dave, but I think we made up for it.
We made up for it with our two guests here. Remember, guys, you can get a hold of us anytime by email at the3inthekey@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3inthekey. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram at the3inthekey. And you can listen to each and every episode, including this one, on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. And you can check all of our links and all of our episodes on our website, 3, the number 3, inthekey.ca. And that does it for another week Inside the Key. For us, for Will Macklin, I'm Elias Zane. Peace.
Pieces.